Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is just to know that name. For there's no other name whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back here with you again this morning. And we certainly do appreciate all your prayers for us this week. We had surgery. I had surgery on my eye, on my right eye, on Wednesday. And they make an incision in your cornea on your eye, and they go in, they take out your old lens, and then they put in a new one. And in this case, they put in a corrective lens. So for the first time in 50 years, I don't have to wear glasses. So I'm thankful for that. It takes a few weeks for, well, about 6 weeks, I guess, for your eye to fully recover and things settle in, for your vision to settle in. But the day after the surgery, so the surgery is on Wednesday, the very next day I went in and my vision is now 20/15 in this eye, so, which is, you know, it was 20/80 before I went. So, but it, not just that, but you know, the main purpose of having the eye surgery was because of the cataracts that my eyes have, you know, become. The lens is hardened, and when it hardens, it starts to turn an amber color, and so it distorts the light that comes in, and it also changes the color of everything. So I'm seeing white again. And I'm seeing bright colors, and it's just a foretaste of the millennium. Because from what I understand, that the colors that we're seeing now are dim compared to how we will see them. So we thank the Lord for that. And just ask for your continued prayers. We this Wednesday they'll work on the other eye, and you have to put eye drops in your eye for 6 weeks, four times a day, three different types of eye drops. So it's a little bit involved, but we're thankful that science has been able to gain that knowledge and that wisdom by the grace of God to prolong our vision. So thank the Lord for that. We certainly have enjoyed the ministers that the Lord has brought our way, and thank the Lord for that. We had Brother Wendell Martin at the beginning of the year, and then we had Brother David Gadman, and just, you know, it's hard to even begin to express, you know, what you know is taking place when you see the Lord come in and deal with certain needs and go in certain directions, and there was no communication ahead of time and no coordination. And then Brother Timothy Ashong coming in last weekend, and just once again halfway around the world and just going right down the same path, same direction. Thank the Lord for that. We had another minister slated to come midweek, and there was a little bit of a mix-up, and wasn't able to make it. So, and then we have Brother Ron Spencer coming this next weekend. So we so appreciate all your support, particularly when these men come, and we're thankful for God's leading and direction. And then once again, we'll have a flyer up here momentarily, reminding you of the special meetings that we have every year that'll be in February from the 14th to the 18th. And many of you are already involved in helping to prepare for that, and some of you will be asked to contribute and help out. It's a body movement. It takes a body to do these things, and so we just thank you in advance for your support. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. So we want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read verses 11 through 14. And this will be Christ revealed to you, part 3. So, now that I can see you, if you see me looking up, maybe I need to wear sunglasses or something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? So there are things that we know about ourselves that only we know. And we know it by the spirit that's within us, which, you know, science will call your mind, but it's the same realm. It's your spirit realm. And there are things that we show other people that we know about ourselves, and there are things that we don't even know about ourselves. And then there are things that we don't show other people that only we know about ourselves. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So only the spirit of God knows these things, and only the spirit of God can reveal these things. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, or the spirit man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, the things of the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned. So we have to have the Spirit of God in order to receive the things of God. Otherwise, it's foolishness. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come once again with thanksgiving in our hearts. We're thankful for another opportunity to gather together. We thank you for the breath that's in our lungs this morning, Lord, for the food that's on our table, the clothes that are on our backs, Lord. We thank you for, as our brother mentioned here earlier, for the opportunity to come together and for the facilities you've provided and just all that you've done and that you continue to do on our behalf, Lord. Certainly when we get to the other side, there'll be no one there that will say, Lord, why didn't you do more? Lord, rather, we help us to realize that we might not be taking full advantage of what you're already doing for us. And we certainly want to be grateful and thankful, and we want to take full advantage of it, Lord. For we know that if we don't take full advantage of what you provided for us, that we'll cool off, we'll not be as prepared as we should be, we'll not be as defended and built up and fortified as we should be. So Lord, we just want to take full opportunity of all that you've availed us this morning. Father, we surrender ourselves to you from the pulpit to the back door. We ask that you'd speak to us, Lord, more than just Logos word this morning, but we're asking for Rhema word. We're asking that you'd reveal yourself in living form in the midst of a living body this morning. We love you and we thank you, Lord. We just pray for all the needs, Lord. We just want to add our faith to the requests that went before the body, and we want to just add our faith right along with the rest of the body, Lord, knowing that you're not moved by feelings, but you're moved by faith, Lord. Father, we commit these things into your hands now. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul is showing us that there are two types of hearers of the word. And of course, in this series, we realize that there's two types of word. There's the Logos word and there's Rhema word. And Rhema word is living word. It's present tense. It's the Spirit of God revealing something to you. And it's only those with a certain kind of hearing can receive it or hear it. And without that kind of a hearing, without that spiritual ability to hear, it's foolishness. So Paul is showing us there's two types of hearers of the word. And we know that as human beings, we are all made up of three parts. We have a flesh part, we have a spirit part to us, and we have a soul. And our human spirit makes up what we commonly refer to as the human mind, but if we use the term the human spirit, it's the same thing. It's describing the same thing, it's describing the same realm. Our human spirit is what makes up our human mind, And it is in our human spirit that we think, that we remember, that we imagine, that we are conscious, that we have affections, that we reason. And many, many times people will say, oh, no, no, that's your brain that does that. But your brain is not your mind. You can lose your mind, and I'm pretty sure you still got a brain. People will sometimes say, are you out of your mind? What they're saying is that, there's a certain frame of reference that they're used to with you, a certain mode of thinking, a certain way of acting, a certain way of behaving, certain values and all that. And a person can, due to trauma, due to different situations, due to heartbreak or difficulty, they can snap or they can do things that they wouldn't normally be thought that they would do. And a person will say, have you lost your mind? The brain didn't change. If you were to take a microscope and examine the brain would look the same before and after. But something took place in the spirit realm. What changed was the way the person looked at things or the way the person behaved. So the spirit of a man is where a man learns things and it's where a man knows things. And if you want to know something, say if you want to know something about myself, I will tell you in words things about myself that I want you to know. And your ears, your physical ears will hear those words, and your ears will turn that sound signal that's coming in into something that the brain can then process and store, but it is your mind that makes sense out of it. It is your mind or your spirit that tries to take what I have spoken and make some kind of a sense out of it. Make some, get some kind of meaning out of it. And we call that reasoning. Are you with me this morning? Two people can hear me speak the very exact same words in the same manner, in the same tone. And one can get an entirely different meaning out of what I said than another. Now, the words were the same, but what is different is the mind that's receiving it or the spirit that's receiving it. It's because the human spirit hears, and it is the human spirit that understands based on what it has heard. Now, Paul says, as we read here this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man? So it is your spirit or your mind that knows the things about yourself. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So we would have to have the mind of God to know the things of God. Is that right? He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now the spirit of the world will do the things of the world. But if you have the spirit of God in you, you'll do the things of God. He says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He's not trying to hold anything back, but he actually wants to give us these things. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. So it's not through a seminary, it's not through a seminar, it's not through some kind of a lecture, but it is as the Spirit gives utterance, as the Spirit leads. He says, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So it's not the reasoning of man, it's not the thinking of man that's being preached, but it's the very thoughts of God that's coming forth, and that's what we're hearing. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man can hear the Logos of God, and actually does feed on the Logos of God, and is stimulated by the Logos of God, and can rejoice over it. And that's wonderful. That's a good thing. Paul's not saying that we can't hear the Logos of God. He's saying we can't hear the Rhema of God except by the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot hear the Rhemas of God or the living Word of God as it's going forth. The things of the Spirit of God are the Rhemas of God, and therefore he cannot know the things of God. It takes the Spirit of God to know the things of God and to hear the living word of God or the rhema of God. So you have to have a portion of his spirit in you in order to hear from him, in order to hear living word. You can hear Logos God without the Spirit of God dwelling in you. But to hear the living word, to hear present tense, personal, lip to ear, requires for you to have a portion of the very same Spirit down on the inside of you. So without the Spirit of God, we cannot know God. And of course, the scripture tells us that in different ways, in different parts. It says that without the Spirit of God, we can't even say that Jesus is the Christ. We can know of God. We can know something about God. We can know generalities about God. But we cannot know him personally with our human mind. Our human mind is actually enmity with God. Our human mind actually keeps us separated from God. God does not reveal himself to our human spirit. He gives us a portion of his spirit when we are born again of the Spirit of God. And it is a divine spirit that actually hears from God and speaks back to God. So when we pray in the spirit, we're not actually praying to God. But it's that portion of his spirit that's down on the inside of you that knows what you have need of, that discerns your heart and speaks back to your Father. So it's God all the way around. And I'm so thankful that he set it up that way, because it's impossible for you to miss it if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Praise his wonderful name. It is that divine spirit in us that the living word is revealed to down in the soul. And without that divine nature on the inside, it is impossible to know the spiritual things of God that he reveals to his children. We can know the Logos of God. Amen. But to know the living word, to know the present tense word, to know him personally, face to face, to hear his voice, requires for you to have a portion of his spirit. So the human mind can hear human voices, and the human mind can then reason over what it has heard. But the human mind or the human spirit cannot hear the living voice of God. God does not speak to the human mind. He speaks to the soul. To the natural man, the sound of the living voice of God is the same as the sound of thunder. You see, the sound of thunder is something that's very powerful. It's something that's very terrible. It's something that might even be fearful. But it has nothing in it that the human spirit can gain meaning from. When you say, shh, did you hear that? Did you hear what? That thunder. Yeah, I heard it. You know, that means there's lightning going across the sky, and the sound travels a little slower, and so we hear the thunder. The lightning went forth first, and then we hear the thunder. We don't say to one another, well, what do you think it means? Well, some say it means this, and some say it means that. You can't know what it means, if there is any meaning in it. Because to your mind, it's just a bunch of jumbled up sound. It's just noise. You know that something happened, but you can't make sense out of it. And yet the spiritual man can actually hear a voice. The spiritual man is not hearing thunder. The spiritual man is actually hearing the voice of God speaking to their soul. It's not noise. It's a very certain sound. Now, we can grow up hearing the Logos Word of God, and we can have it explained to us properly, and we can memorize it, and that's all good, and we should do that. And it's needful even. But there comes a time for each and every one of us when we need to be born again of the Spirit of God, just as we were born of the natural, and we received a natural spirit when we were born in the natural. We need to be born spiritually. We need to be born a second time and receive a spiritual spirit. And not just the natural spirit. Are you with me this morning? And the only way that that will come is to completely surrender ourselves to Him and die out to ourselves. And if we partway do it, it won't produce anything. If we most of the way do it, it still won't produce anything. We have to completely die out. And then we are born again of His Spirit. And when we are born again of His Spirit, we hear from Him personally down in the soul. Not in the reasoning department, but down in the soul. Until we've been born again of His Spirit, we are taking somebody else's word that the Bible is true. We are taking the Logos of God and we are reasoning with it and we are accepting it with mental faith. And if somebody could talk us into it, somebody can talk us out of it. Without the new birth, we are believing with our human spirit based on the meaning our human spirit gives to what we have heard. And if that's as far as we go, we can be talked out of what we have been talked into. And people that are talked into false teachings, that's why they don't want their people getting around anybody else. Because they know they can be talked out of their false teachings. But if you get somebody connected with God, there ain't no devil from hell that's going to take it from you. So that's why people can go to church for years and promote what they have been hearing. Some of the foremost promoters many times are people that end up walking away. One day they can listen to another interpretation that they hadn't heard before. And with that one little voice that they hear, they can walk away from all that they have been taught and call it a lie. And that's why people fuss and argue over the Logos Word of God. It's because it's only in the spirit, human spirit realm. It's not down in the soul. That's why there are so many denominations around the same Logos of God. You realize in what we call Christianity, there's, I think last count, somebody said there was around 900 different denominations around the same word, the same Logos of God. So it shows that these denominations are all a result of human reasoning. It's all the result of listening to a voice of a human mind instead of the voice of God. Because the voice of God is sure. The voice of God is amen and amen. The voice of God, there's only one interpretation. And God interprets it by bringing it to pass. All of the denominations, they all claim to have the true interpretation of the Logos Word of God. But it is human reasoning that's bringing the interpretation. They are hearing with the ears of the natural man, and the natural man is then imagining what the meaning of it is imagining the meaning. And the natural man will then create a God of his imagination, a Jesus of his imagination, and will worship the God of their imagination. But the spiritual man hears from God, and God reveals himself to the spiritual man. And the spiritual church hears the very same voice. They hear one voice, and therefore they end up with the same revelation of the word. The only way this can work is if there's one voice. And the only way this can work is if that one voice reveals the same thing to each and every one of us. And the only way that can happen is if we're born again of the Spirit of God. Listen to this from the message Christ. Brother Branham says, if you wanted to buy a loaf of bread and it cost a quarter, and I had a quarter, the quarter is not the loaf of bread. The quarter is the purchasing power of a loaf of bread. And you say, oh, I believe the word. He says, that's fine. And it is fine. We should. But it's through faith that purchases the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just intellectual faith won't work. You're not in fellowship yet. You have intellectual faith, and you'll argue every scripture. You'll do everything that you can backwards and everything else. You say, well, there's no such thing as divine healing. Well, the Logos says there is. There's no such thing as divine healing. There's no such thing as heartfelt religion. No such thing as the Holy Ghost. You fuss and you'll stew the time and know not what you're talking about. How can you believe when there's nothing there to believe with? Just a carnal mind through mental conception, he says you can't do it. That's the reason people don't believe in divine healing, is because they've never walked into the bloodstream to the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they don't know him. They're talking about him. They're speaking for him. They're speaking in his place, but they've never met him. They don't know him. But they don't know that they don't know him. And they don't know that there are people that actually know him. And those that actually know him are foolish to them. So the carnal mind is not converted. Neither will it be. When we leave this body, we will leave this mind behind. We have something better that we're going into. The carnal mind is not converted, and the carnal mind can never truly know God in a personal way because God is hidden from him. You can know him in a general way. You can know about him, but you cannot know him personally by the carnal mind. When we are born again of the Spirit of God, we still retain our natural spirit. And we still can reason, and it's a good thing. And we still can remember, and sometimes that's a good thing. And we still can imagine and so forth, and sometimes that's a good thing. We need our natural spirit while we are in this life. We need to be able to reason at times. We need to be able to remember. Sometimes we need to be able to imagine. God gave it to us for a purpose while we're in this life. But the spiritual man does not reason with the Word of God. The natural man reasons with everything. But the spiritual man never reasons. There's no ability to reason in your soul. Are you with me? The spiritual man does not reason with the Word of God. He believes it. And it is revealed to him. And he can't explain how he knows what he knows when he explains it to somebody else. The natural man thinks that's foolishness. We'll call that guy a mystic and odd because he can't figure him out. That's because you can't figure God out with your mind. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot know the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. The natural man can hear the Logos of God and can even receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon that natural spirit. And that will cause the person to become lovey-dovey. It'll cause the person maybe to speak in tongues or shout or do lots of different things, and nothing against that. But that's a baptism on the human spirit. But that realm, that human spirit realm, can be deceived. That human spirit realm has to be led. It's going to believe something. It's going to be led by something. I'm still here. Hallelujah. There we go. The natural realm can be deceived. That's where all deception takes place, is in the natural spirit realm. The natural realm can believe a lie. The natural realm can be talked into things. It can be talked out of things. The wife can go visit mother, and the man can be at home. Somebody can talk him into buying a hot tub. You can't make this stuff up. And then the wife comes back and says, where'd we get that? Oh, we bought it. How'd we do it? Well, we used a credit card. Well, what made you do that? Somebody talked me into it. Well, I'm going to talk you out of it. Send that thing back. We don't have money for it. You lost your mind while I was gone. We can't trust the human mind. The human mind can believe a lie. It can be talked into things. It can be talked out of things. And God knew that we would need that realm, but we do not hear the living voice of God from that realm. That's not where you hear from God. You hear about God and receive the things that you hear about God in that realm, but you don't hear from God personally. It's in the third realm. It's in the soul that we hear the living voice of the living God. And we hear that voice only from that realm. We never hear it in the natural realm. So when people say, well, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that, and then it turns out to not be true, we know that they didn't hear that in their soul. They heard it in their natural reasoning realm, and it was another spirit. It wasn't the Spirit of God. And that person was deceived. We can still, once you're born again of the Spirit of God and you're converted, we can still hear our own voice in our second realm. And consequently, we can still worry. We can still reason. We can still remember. We can remember things that God doesn't remember. Amen? But it's in that third realm where we hear the voice of God when we're in the midst of trials and all hell's breaking loose. We're up and down and everything's going against us. It's in that third realm that we hear another voice that says, just calm down. Peace, be still. You're going to get through this. I'm with you, even in you. While the natural mind just spins round and round and round. People serve God many, many times from the human spirit realm. In fact, all denominations do that. They are up, they are down. They lose their temper often, and they have to apologize many times for the things that they say or the things that they do, because they don't have any sort of governor and they don't have any sort of filter. There's something taking place in that spirit realm, and it depends on how they're being influenced at the particular time and what they're listening to and what kind of an atmosphere they're around, and their genetics and what's been passed down, that will determine what takes place in that human spirit realm. But we've got a governor now. We've got a tutor. We've got the Holy Ghost down on the inside. And when that natural mind tries to cause us to go this way or that, tries to cause us to worry when we shouldn't worry, then that governor will say, fear not, for I am with you. Did not I say? Have not I told you? Have not I shown you? And that allows us to be still in times where we otherwise would have flown off the handle. It's not that your human spirit is different. It's that there's something governing you now. Well, praise the Lord. So we thank God for the human spirit. It's needful. But it's the second realm, and it can only take us so far. And there will be millions that only go that far. And if they'll hold on to their confession, they'll be given life. Now, in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, there were three sections to this tabernacle. There was what we call the outer court, where, you're affected by the weather and politics and what other people say. You can hear the voices of the world. You can hear everything that's going around in the world and day-to-day goings on. Then there's the inner court, which is separated from the world. There's a separation that's taking place. There's a sanctification that's taking place. You've been washed by the water of the word. You've walked through the laver. You've been separated from your sin, and you walk into the second realm. And in this second realm, there's a unnatural light. There's a golden lampstand. You say, well, it's burning, the pure olive oil and all that, but it's representing the true light. Amen. It's not the true light. It's representing the true light. the true light is in another realm yet. And in that second realm is the church ages. In that second realm is the shoe bread. In that second realm is the logos of God. And it's the reasoning of man and teachings and separation. But it's not our destination. There's another room that's called the holiest of holies. And it's through that second realm that we find the opening into the third realm. So we must accept it in the second realm if it's ever going to find its way into the third realm. If we're ever to receive the Spirit of God, we must open up our flesh to the Spirit of God, allow Him to sanctify us and set us aside. We must open our spirit realm to the things of God and accept His Word. But that's leading us to a final destination. Inside of that third compartment is the Shekinah. It is the Spirit of God. Inside of there is the Word of God. And inside of there is healing and deliverance. Inside of there is light, no matter whether the sun's shining outside or not. Whether the candles are still burning in the church ages or not, there's light on the inside of the inside. And there's one voice, and there's one voice only, and it's His voice. And it's where the blood of mercy is being sprinkled. And it's where we find intercession. It's where we find deliverance. It's where we find comfort. It's where we find instruction. It's actually where we commune as well. It's all in that realm, and there's nobody in there but you and Him. You can come out back into your human reasoning and try to explain to people what you heard in that third realm. And it's foolishness to them if they haven't heard the same thing. Hallelujah. On the other hand, somebody that's been born again of the same Spirit, you just say a few words and they start crying. And they say, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, wait a minute. I haven't explained it all in reason. Yeah, but they heard the same voice. They're feeding on the same word. Now, the Logos of God is stimulating. It can be very stimulating to the mind, and you're actually feeding on it. But the life that you're getting is a life of death, because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So there's a stimulation that comes. And they call it revelation, but it's actually information. And it is stimulating. I won't argue about that. Somebody say praise the Lord. But it's not hearing the voice, the living voice of God. It's not the same as God revealing Himself to you personally. So there was the outer court, there was the inner court, there was the holiest of holies that was behind the inner veil. In the second court or inner court, there were many beautiful things. There was lots of gorgeous furnishings. It all typed out different things. There was artificial light that was coming from these lampstands that were with their wicks into one reservoir. There was the shoe bread and other furnishings. But the inner court also had an entrance that you could then pass through to go into the third part called the Holiest of Holies. And that door is what Brother Branham referred to as the door to your heart. And that's where the Shekinah, or the presence of God, dwelt. Now many will stop at the second court and they'll feast on the shoe bread of the church ages, and they'll love it. And all of us feed on that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. But there's more. They benefit from it. Certainly they do. But it is by an intellectual faith, which is believing by the natural man. But the natural man is at best trying to conform to the Word. The only thing the natural man can do is try to be a Christian. But he cannot truly live out a Christ-like life because Christ is not in him. They've never walked, as Brother Branham said, into the bloodstream of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. So we fall in love with him when we know him by the spiritual man. We don't fall in love with him knowing him by human reasoning. We don't fall in love with him studying the history, studying Jesus of Nazareth of 2,000 years ago. You are imagining in your mind what he was like. You're imagining how he sounded. You're imagining what he would say to you right now if he were standing here. But you don't have to imagine. If you go into that third realm, you'll hear him talk to you. You'll find out how far off your imagination was from the living God. If we never come to know him personally, we can fall out with the church. We can fall out with the pastor. We can even fall out with Christianity. But if we ever fall in love with him, if we ever are born again of the Spirit of God and he reveals himself to us personally, it doesn't matter what the church is doing. It doesn't matter what the pastor is doing. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. We're in love with him. We're in a walk with him. We're in a fellowship with him. There's an anchor. If we ever fall in love with him, we will no longer be looking at the church to satisfy us. So we won't be up and down on our feelings of the church. Oh, it's a good church. It's a bad church. It's a good church. It's a bad church. Good dog, bad dog. Good dog, bad dog. We're thankful for the church. The church has its place. But the church is not your Holy Spirit. The church is not your personal leading. The church is not your love affair. Jesus Christ is. And the church is here to help you to come more fully into that relationship. So if you fall in love with him, you won't have your eyes on man. Friends, let's just face it this morning. Man will disappoint you. We've all been disappointed at one time or another. And guess what? We've all been hurt at one time or another. You say, not me. Well, it's coming, friend. If he suffered, you'll suffer. If he was misunderstood, you'll be misunderstood. If the things that he's revealed to you are called foolishness, you'll be called a fool. But if you're born again, truly born again of his spirit, your eyes won't be on man. But your eyes will be turned upon Jesus. Just as the song goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim by the light of his glory and grace. How can you be disappointed if you know him? Friends, the world will disappoint you. Christians will disappoint you. We should do what we can to, you know, try to keep our epidermis from showing. That's your skin, your outer flesh. We should do all we can to not offend one another. But whether we offend one another or not, he will not offend us. He has not condemned you. He has taken away your condemnation. So the whole world can fall away. But we will continue to walk with him. And we will continue to hear from him personally. One of the most dissatisfying walks in this life can be a church walk. Because you haven't went far enough, so you're not getting the benefits. But yet you've given up a bunch. Listen to this. He says, you got an intellectual faith. Oh, you believe the word and you mix it and make it suit your theology. But once you come into the kingdom of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus, meeting upon the shed blood, bought through the testimony, the public testimony of the crimson blood of the Lord, you are in here in fellowship where God can bless you. and you can shout and you can praise the Lord and the powers of God working. Why? It's God himself, his own body, the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ here on the earth, operating upon the basis of the shed blood. You might have fellowship with the church, the congregation, but you'll never have fellowship with God until you come on his basis, come on his terms, and his terms is through the blood. And it takes faith to come through that blood. So God allows a portion of himself to be written in logos. Just as you, in your human spirit, you allow a portion of who you are to be revealed to other people. You share a portion of who you are, but you don't share your innermost beings with just everybody. Or being, I should say. Hopefully it isn't beings. So is it with God. God allows himself to be known in a certain level. And even if you accept him on an intellectual basis, there's salvation for you. There's remission of sin. But you don't come through the blood until you pass through that third, into that third realm. That's where the sprinkling of the blood takes place. He says, you'll never have fellowship with God until you come on his basis, his terms. His terms is through the blood. Now, Brother Branham tells us in no uncertain terms that the foolish virgin, who is not born again of the Spirit of God, but she's living right and she's trying to do what she's being taught, and she's not fussing and arguing. She's some things are over her head, but she's pressing on anyway. He says she's not under the blood. If she was under the blood, she'd go in the rapture. But she will be given a white robe based on what she does, judged by her works. But if you're born again of the Spirit of God, your judgment's over. You have, present tense, passed from death unto life. And you can no more die than God can die. Hallelujah. So God allows a portion of himself to be written in the Logos. But it is only a portion of himself that is being revealed to the human spirit. And if we are in a denomination, we will run what we have read through the human spirit of the denomination, some spirit of a man that is usually named after the denomination, and we will get a different meaning from what we have heard than another denomination will get, because they're hearing a different voice, a different human voice. If we haven't been born again of the Spirit of God, we'll read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, believes will be given, has passed from death unto life, and so on and so forth. And we can think that John 3:16 is God feeling sorry for all of mankind. And so God sent his little boy to come down to die for everybody so that everybody can receive life, eternal life, and all we have to do is believe, and there's nothing more to it, and that's it, and that's final, and that's all over, and that's the synopsis of the whole Bible. But that's your human understanding. But the Rhema word of God will agree with John 3:16 in its right place, but the Rhema word of God in that very same Bible will tell us that God foreknew who were his and who weren't before the foundation of the world, and that he chose his own in himself. Hallelujah. Those that were in his thinking before the foundation of the world. Natural man will call this Calvinism, and they will say, it doesn't make any sense, and it's some kind of an extreme. Really, predestination and foreknowledge cannot be understood by the natural mind. These things are spiritually discerned. The natural mind cannot handle a God that chooses his own bride. They want a God that chooses everybody, no matter how they live. But that's a God of their own imagination. Waters of separation. Brother Branham says, intellectual faith's all right. That's as far as the nominal Christian goes. He hears the word, he believes it. He has a mental conception of it. Nothing wrong with that, friends. We all start there. That's fine, he says. We believe that. But notice, when the man comes to the waters of separation, which was word, faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word. Now he's talking about rhema. That's what that is. That's not logos. Faith comes by hearing rhema. Hearing of the rhema, the living word. He says, we believe that. God wants us to believe it. That's part of it. But that's as far as he ever gets. He never gets into the fellowship yonder. He just comes through the water of separation. And when he comes to that part, he finds a mental conception. Yes, I believe it. Thinks it in his mind, raises up his hand, accepts it. And 20 days from there, he's back in the same rut he was in the first place. Because it never went any further than his head. Now, friends, if you've had that experience in your life, there's something more for you. Now, if you've had that experience and you resent me even bringing it up, well, you'll never get to where the rest of us have gotten to, because we've all had to be humiliated. We've all had to come to the place where we realize, you know what, everything I ever tried to do, I can't do. I tried to do this. I tried to live this, and I tried, and I thought, and I thought, and I thought, and I thought. You did. But how about letting him think? How about letting him now reveal something to you and do in you and through you what you can't do? Everyone that's born of the Spirit of God has to go through that. All of us. We all try to save ourselves. We all think we're saved. And potentially we are, as long as we're holding that testimony. We think we're born again of the Spirit of God. Until we're born again of the Spirit of God. 20 days from there, he's back in the same rut. That's the story of my life. I got to the place where I said, God, I want to, if this is all there is to it, I'm done. I'm not going through this humiliation any longer. Just take me off the scene. Let me die. I don't want to go to hell, but this is hell, what I'm living right now. Trying to live this kind of a life and being a hypocrite. Not trying to be a hypocrite. I just am being a hypocrite because I can't live that life. Just depends on who I'm around. What kind of a life that's lived. What kind of influence I'm under depends on what kind of life I live. But you get to the place where you say, God, I want you to make what you said in that Bible real to me. I want you to tell me that you're going to keep me. I want you to tell me I'm not 20 days from now, I'm not going to be in a rut. I'm not going to fall away again. I want you to tell me that no matter whether I'm on the job site or whether I'm in church, I'm going to shine for you. That's when you find them. As long as you think you can do it. We all start there with a mental faith. All of us do. If we're ever to accept the word in the third realm, we have to accept it first in the second realm. By intellectual faith. We will never come to know him personally if we don't allow somebody to tell us about him first. Now, we've known many throughout the years that have been talked into the truth. And then later on, they're talked out of it. And we've worried over many. Just as Paul was jealous over the church. He said, he knows that as a serpent beguiled Eve, that he would come in with his beguiling once again. But that's something that God has to reveal to that person. Friends, the pastor can't do that. I can't born again your child. Right? It's not my job. It's his job. It's a promise from him. All I can do is tell you what he said. All I can do is remind you over and over and over. All I can do is preach a living God. And point you to the one true God. But you're the one that will determine how far you go. It's not the church's fault. It's not the pastor's fault. All of us have to make that choice. Some of you are getting quiet on me. I'm going to preach harder. Let's take this out of the reasoning realm. When you get quiet like that, it's because your reasoning's upset. Well, cast it away. Cast down anything that's contrary to the Word of God. You didn't come easy. How's anybody else going to come easy? And if you say you did come easy, you haven't come yet. It's not easy for anybody. So we've known many that have been talked into truth and talked out of it later. They believe it intellectually from the human spirit, and that's a good start. But I've seen people that embrace it that way, and I want to just keep them away from everybody. Because I know in that state, if they don't go any further, in that state, all they got to do is get on the internet. And they'll hear something different. They'll hear lies. That'll sound more authoritative than the truth does. Well, this never happened and that never happened. And the cloud this and bridge that. And just all intellectual reasoning. Friends, there aren't too many people that can read the conspiracy theories about whether man landed on the moon and in the end not have some doubts. Because the so-called facts are pretty convincing. You can do the same thing with the Twin Towers. Say we did it to ourselves. And you can come up with all kinds of so-called facts. And you can make believers out of people. Human reasoning. You can do that with Pearl Harbor. You can say we had our radars in place and there's no way we should have been able to miss that. But Roosevelt wanted to pick a fight with, Hitler, and he wanted to pick a fight with Japan, wanted to get us in the war, and the nation didn't want to go to war. And so, we ignored all that, and here our greatest fleet and da-da-da-da-da, and we got bombed, and then America got behind that. And that's conspiracy. And it's all based on reasoning. It's impossible for us to sort through all of what's being called truth and what's being called a lie with our human reasoning. You can say, well, I'm just going to, you know what, I was raised in this message stuff, but I'm going to find out for myself. I'm going to go out there and, I'm going to look here and I'm going to look there. And well, who's the arbiter of truth? You? You're going to sort through there and on your own, you're going to find out what's true and what isn't. It's not possible. It depends on who you talk to. He must make himself real to us personally. And all of us. I don't care how long you've gone to church. I'm glad you have. But we all must be born again. Satan dealt with Eve in the human spirit realm. And Satan talked her out of what she was previously told. What she was previously told was the message of the hour. The message of the hour is the rhema of the hour. It's the living word of the hour. It's the voice of God to your generation. She was talked out of what she was previously told. Satan attacked. He didn't attack Eve. He attacked the message of the hour. He pointed back to what God was instead of what God is. We've been through this before. He said, yea, hath not God said. Well, that term God is the self-existent one. the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one in the past that Moses talked about that did all this other stuff. But that's not who he was right then to Adam and Eve. The Lord God then did this and did that. Now it's God dwelling with the family. Now it's a personal God. Now it's God changing his name. Which his name is what he's revealing. The characteristics of who he is at the moment. So Satan did not come and say, did not the Lord God? Because that would be present tense. He went back to the past. He went back to Calvary. He went back to what God once did and tried to fuss and argue over that. And once he got Eve on those grounds, he knew he had her. Eve received what he said in the womb of her mind, and it produced something. She discusses with the devil what the devil said about God instead of what God had already said about God. Now she's taking somebody else's word about God through reasoning versus what God said to them personally. Now friends, we appreciate the need of the human spirit in this life. But we don't put our absolute trust in it. Don't argue to the death over something that you remember. Your memory can be faulty. The human spirit can reason. And that's fine in a lot of cases. Should I buy this or should I buy that? Well, let's see. Let me reason for a moment. This is more expensive than that. But it's not any greater value. Well, thank God for reasoning. But the human spirit cannot reason correctly with the Word of God. The human spirit cannot know the things of God. And all denominations are based on human reasoning. You still with me? But God interprets His own Word by bringing it to pass, by making it real to each and every one of us. So a person that accepts God in the human spirit only, they'll change in ways that other people can see, and they'll change for the better. They will, in many cases, live better lives. They'll get cleaned up, get delivered. They might dress different. They might act different. They might talk different. Their associations might change. But there's more than those things. And if that's as far as the person goes with God, they are often more deceived than they were when they were out in the world. You see, until a person is born again of the Spirit of God, they can be deceived by the very reasoning that they reason with. Because that's all you got. And when we say we're no match for the devil, what is meant by that is we are no match for him in the reasoning realm. He can out-reason us any day of the week. That's where conspiracy theory comes in. Oh, it's so reasonable. We need something greater than human reasoning. And that divine faith of God is greater than any human reasoning. We need the mind of Christ. We need the very thinking of God to be revealed to us. We need to know the truth in order to be set free from the natural man. Why are people so tossed about? He says, one of them is an intellectual or a mental conception of what God has said in His Word and of Jesus Christ by the way of knowledge. And the other is an experimental experience that God has given the man in his heart. Notice, not in his mind, but in his heart. The one intellectually is hungering. He's feasting on God. So you wonder, you say, well, man, they were high-fiving this message, and they were just so stimulated, and they just shouted, and they ran around the church, and how could it be that they're now discrediting the very thing that they said that they believed? Because it was intellectual. They were intellectually hungering and feasting on God, but his feast doesn't hold out. The other one seems, listen to this, I love how he puts it. The other one seems to have victory all the time. You don't have victory all the time, but you look like it. Well, I should get at least two amens on that. There's nothing that bothers them. We're not talking about the natural man. You just push that natural man aside and say, well, you know, he's never going to be totally satisfied. But down on the soul, there's nothing that bothers him. He's anchored. But they seem to have something about them that people who are Christians and are trying to live for God admire that type of a Christian. Now this is where we're trying to get everybody to. That's our whole point. That's the whole point of the message of the hour. We want to get people beyond do this and don't do that. We aren't doing away with do this and don't do that, because if you don't do this and don't do that, you'll never get to him. It would be like me saying, you want to meet the president. So obviously you're going to say, well, what do I got to do? Well, you got to put your knives away. Well, I don't think I have to do that. Well, you'll never meet the president. Right? Got to change the way you dress. Yeah, I don't know. Making it up as I go along here. But I think we can all agree that there's a certain approach. And if you don't agree to that approach, you'll never meet that person. But the approach is not him. The approach is what you have to be willing to do to get to him. But once you've got to him, you'll realize it isn't all do's and don'ts. And you'll be thankful for the legalism that you had that got you to that point. So those things are fine as we are coming to Christ. But those things don't justify us. So what we are doing, friends, is we are teaching how to approach him. But once a person comes to know him personally, no devil from hell can ever shake them loose. No reasoning. No thinking. No, it doesn't matter what somebody else says. It doesn't matter what events are. It doesn't matter what takes place that looks like truth. It doesn't matter. Come what may. Nothing's going to shake them loose. And listen, friends, our children need to see this in us at home. If they see us up and down and up and down with church issues, and if they hear us in those times blaming the deacons or blaming the pastor or the trustees or the Sunday school teachers, they're being taught nothing but churchianity. Sure, we're all still human, and if you want to throw a dart, there's something to throw a dart at. But our tie post is no longer in the natural spirit realm. There's an anchor that's down in the soul. And that anchor is tied into the heavenlies. And when trouble rises up, and it will, and it does, that anchor holds. The ship doesn't run from this harbor to that harbor, from this shore to that shore. It stays put and it rides out the storm because it's got an anchor that's anchored in the heavenlies. It's anchored in the Rock of Ages and it's holding sure. Listen, friends, it's not the pastor's fault when our children don't go further with God. Your children have to make the same choice you did. Thank God you've raised them right. But they have to make up their own mind. It's not because we've kept them from stuff that's going to save them. Thank God that we've been able to keep them from stuff, but they still have to make their own choice. Many times people don't trust the pastor or the deacons or the church to teach their children. They'll come to church, but they won't get plugged in because somebody's hurt them or somebody's deceived them. Well, guess what? You should have never trusted man to begin with. Your trust should be in God. And if you're plugged into him and your trust is in him, you know he's got people that'll help you. So they don't trust the pastor, they don't trust the deacons, they don't trust the teachers to teach their children. And so all the children know is by how mom and dad teach and how mom and dad live. And when Johnny decides one day, I'm going to go try something else, now the parents want the church to do in 10 minutes what the parents failed to do in 18 years. Now they want a miracle man. A guy they never trusted their children with. But now he's got to pull this miracle, and if he doesn't, it's his fault. But friends, listen to me this morning. If we've trained them up in the way that they should go, and they've seen us walking with God through the trials along the way, they may go off for a season. But we have been given a promise. And that promise is they will return. That's not a maybe. That's not I hope so. That's thus saith the Lord. And when they're out on their own experimenting with the world, they will run into hard places. And they will remember those times. At those times, they will remember how smooth things were back at home. They will remember where the anchor was. They will remember where the confidence was. They will remember where the smoothness and the peace was in the times of great trials. They'll remember how mom and dad faced these things. Said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And like the prodigal son, they'll wake up one day and they'll say, I want to go home. That's thus saith the Lord. That's the word of God. But you must believe that. For that to apply to you, you got to believe it. Well, I'm sorry if I'm preaching to somebody this morning. Shame on me. Why in the world would we preach something that applies to us? Come on, friends. Get those arms unfolded. Sit up straight. Say, God, thank you. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Not just when things are good, but all the time. Parents, you need to have confidence in God's word. If you've done what the word of God said, don't worry. Hallelujah. Just don't take it into your own hands. And don't try to force it into somebody else's. Don't try to, you know, it's amazing. We don't trust the pastor, but when there's problems, we'll show that we don't, because we're going to call the pastor up and tell him how to deal with the situation. This is what you need to do. Well, why don't you just skip the pastor and do it yourself? You're the expert. Come on, friends. I'm dealing with a reasoning devil. And that reasoning devil will keep you upset. It'll keep you this and that, and you'll stay right there, and you'll justify your walk based on those silly little arguments. There's something greater for you, though. There's a rest behind the veil. And behind the veil, you can say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe you. You can say, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord will speak to you. And you can pray a prayer and you'll get an answer. It may not come right when you want it to, but it'll come. Every prayer that the saints of God have ever prayed have been sealed up in a bottle. Some of them have been answered throughout the ages. Some of them God couldn't answer until the last one comes in. But they'll be poured out. Every one of those prayers will be answered. You've got a promise this morning. If he is your ultimate, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you've given yourself to him, he's given you your family. And you can say, God, I hold on to it. I don't care how things look. I've done what your word said. You do the same thing with healing, friends. You don't look at the symptoms. You don't look at what the doctor says. You appreciate the doctor. And you say, doctor, thank you. You've come as far as you can go, and I appreciate that. But you believe the word. The word promises you healing. Listen, friends, it was about January, about 5 or 6 years ago, that my father had been diagnosed. Remember, my sister said my dad had 9 lives. He said he's like a cat that always landed on his feet. Well, then why do you call us every time that and ask us to pray if it's just my dad having 9 lives? Every time something would happen, we get a call, and I'm glad. Pray for dad. He's going to die. Pray for dad. He's got cancer. Pray for dad. He's got this. He's got that. And we brought it before the church. The last time, the doctors opened him up, looked at him. His stomach was full of tumors. He'd been delivered of prostate cancer. Now his stomach was full of tumors. They opened him up. They sewed him back up, said there's nothing we could do. So my brother and my sister started reasoning. They said, well, you know, maybe we should tell the doctor to just take my dad's stomach out, you know, and then they can feed him with tubes or however it was would be that they keep him alive. And I'm thinking, what kind of a quality of life is that? He's already got they've already pulled a rib out of his side because his backbone was just crumbling, the osteoporosis of the spine, the bones just crumble. And so they took one of his ribs out and strapped it to his back because he was in so much pain. That sounds like a good quality of life deal to me. Strapped that together, he'd had, I don't know how many heart surgeries, he'd battled with prostate cancer, got delivered, thing came back, he got delivered, thing came back, he got delivered. You say he never was healed. It can happen. You live long enough, you'll get a cold again, and you'll get delivered. Hallelujah. But we prayed as a body, and I remember clearly saying, Lord, I don't know. This might be my dad's time. I don't know. I can't say whether it's time for him to go home. I don't know how to pray on that. But I do know one thing. You're the God that heals. And I know we don't have to put up with this demon of cancer. We prayed as a church. They took my dad back to the doctor a couple of weeks later and examined him and said, we don't know what to say. The tumors are gone. Now we could have looked at the reasoning. We could have looked at what science said. We could have looked at how we felt. We could have blamed the church on how they treated him. We could have found somebody in his life to point fingers at. But instead we looked to the word. That's all you have. And God will allow these things in our life to strip us down. To get us to the point where there's nothing else to hold on to. Where we'll cast down any imagination or reasoning or anything that exalts itself above the word of God. And we will take him at his word. And we will see the Lord God Almighty move on the scene. This is not supposed to be easy. We're going to chase that self-pity demon one more time. I don't feel sorry for you. I don't feel sorry for myself. I feel for you. When one suffers, and we all suffer. But we don't all sit around and feed a pity devil. We instead say, but God said. 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 Well, my child is strained. But God said. My brother's got cancer. But God said. Somebody's going to take God at his word. Somebody's going to believe God. And somebody is going to see the glory of the Lord. Help us, Lord. You know, when we stay away from church, that's when we really get into that reasoning realm. That's when the devil's right there. We need to cast that down. We need to be washed by the water of the Word. Thank God for the water. We've been given a promise. When our children go out and experiment with the world, they will run into hard places. But we have a promise. Now, if you just allow them back in your home and act like nothing's going on, you don't believe the promise. That's not the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son didn't come home and have Thanksgiving dinner with mom and dad. The prodigal son lived like a pig until he got tired of living like a pig. Mom and dad didn't move. He did. When he was ready to come back, he came back. What you need to do is stand still and behold the glory of the Lord. Don't move. Well, if I just soften things up, you'll ruin it. You'll take away the power. You'll keep God from moving on the scene. You say, well, that's tough. It is tough. Life is tough. Love is tough. Amen. Listen to this. I'll pull over in just a minute. He says, now, today, the reason so many ups and downs and things are, they enter into the religious people is because there's an intellectual conception of Christ. In other words, it's in their mind and not in their heart. See, they just mentally believe it. And your mental will reason. Could it be so? Could divine healing be so? Could the baptism of the Holy Spirit be so? He says, now that's intellectual reasoning. But when it comes into the heart, it's got to go past the reasoning. When it comes into the heart, it's faith. It's a positive. There's no question about it at all. It's all settled forever. It's in your heart, and your heart doesn't reason. You can't reason in your heart because it's the throne, the dwelling place of the Almighty in the heart. We want to see each and every one of us walking in this realm. In this realm where it's settled forever. It's in your heart and not just in the human mind. It's a personal walk and it's a love affair. It's Jesus Christ living again in a many-membered body. Now, friends, I've said it before. I'll say it again. Your children, you should not give your children a choice about coming to church. Well, some of you will say amen. Some of you won't. I don't care. Until they're born again of the Spirit of God, they need to be led. You need to train them up in the way that they should go. Not turn them loose and tell them whatever you think. How's that going to work out? You see how it's working out in the world? Pastor just sent me a video from Canada, from the province over there on the west coast where Vancouver is, British Columbia, yeah. Where they are teaching in school now that your sexual orientation is a choice and that it can change. And they're just teaching flat out. I mean, kids that don't even, they're not even questioning it yet. Well, I guarantee you, when you come to the age of accountability, you start questioning a lot of things. That's not the time when you need some more confusion entered in there. But it's becoming, they're mandating it. They are forcing it. And they say that parents that fight against this, well, we just have to go because the children's rights are greater than the parents' rights. So they say. In other words, they care more about your kids than you do. Satan's Eden. What a perversion. That's why you need to train them up in the way they should go. You had to hear the word before you could receive Christ. When it comes to the heart, it's a faith. It's a positive. There's no question about it. It's all settled forever. It's in your heart, and your heart doesn't reason because it's the throne, the dwelling place of the Almighty in the heart. We want to see everyone walking in this realm. It's a personal walk, and it's a personal love affair. It's Jesus Christ living again today in a many-membered body. He says here, I'm astounded in this day and have always been. When people profess to be Christians in the first little trial that comes on, they fall by the wayside. It goes to show that it was an intellectual conception of Christ. That's the reason so many doesn't hold out today, is because it's an intellectual conception. So he's getting to the root of it here, and the root is they're not born again. Intellectually, you could believe it, but it goes further than that. To accept Christ is to accept the person of Christ. Then again, we would see Jesus. The people who profess to come are too starchy. They seem to just say, well, yes, I believe. And that is an intellectual conception, but that won't work. You've got to be born again. And when you're born, there's an enthusiasm that rises with that birth. It don't have to be pumped up. The birth will raise it up. There's an enthusiasm that rises with that birth, listen to this, and sets the soul afire. And it takes all the differences away and all the isms, and it comes straight to Calvary and recognizes Christ with a burning love and a zeal for the lost and a fallen world. Now it's not about you anymore. Now it's about the rest of the world. Getting everyone saved. There's a fire burning in there. And you didn't start it. He did. They don't have to be talked into it any longer, or forced into it, or begged. There's a flame that's now burning from within. And the word is being written in the lives that are being lived out. And it's not dependent any longer on whether we are having a revival meeting or not. Well, if we just had more revival meetings, so-and-so wouldn't have left. So-and-so would have left no matter what. Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Come on, friends. That's all human reasoning. Once that fire gets lit, there ain't no devil from hell that can put it out. That devil's afraid of fire. He ought to be. He's going to be in it one day. So it's not dependent on whether we're having revival meetings or not. And it doesn't matter who's preaching. You know, we've literally had some that have come in the doors and looked and saw who was preaching and went out and called themselves members of the church. That's solid. They're more spiritual than whoever's behind the pulpit, I guess. Well, that kind of a life eventually shows itself. Friends, it shouldn't matter whether people are coming to church or not. I'm worried there are people that are leaving. What's it to you? And what are you doing about it? Well, I think we ought to add more members. All right, go ahead. Oh, no, it's your job. Sheep beget sheep. Who have you witnessed to lately? When's the last time you told somebody about the hope of glory that resides within you? When's the last time you brought somebody to church? Who are you talking to? Whoever it's for? Maybe nobody. I doubt it, but I can see it now. Hallelujah. Hey, friends, I want more of him too. I want to see that fire burning hotter and brighter. And I think the best way to do that is for us to encourage one another. Not take each other through the molly grubs. How you doing? Well, let's see, I've only got about 5 minutes. How long is this going to take? How long you got? Well, what does the word say? What is your confession according to the word? Brother Joel and I worked with a guy, his name was Mark. And every time you meet him, you say, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. And after a while, you thought, man, that can't be true. That's broken record and quit and whatever. I'd much rather hear that than, well, so-and-so cheated me, and my wife left, and dog ate my homework. And you are blessed, and you are highly favored. I don't care what you're going through. You're still blessed and highly favored. It doesn't matter whether we've got best buds in the church at the particular time or not. There's a zeal burning in the soul, and it shows wherever you go. Why aren't there more people coming in? What are you showing them? Yeah. Beats me. Your billboard looks pretty enticing to me. Can I go a little further? Hebrews chapter 5. He says, and it was the same in the Old Testament, but Paul, being well trained and knew the scriptures by the word, but you see, the scriptures, no matter how well you know them, if the Spirit doesn't quicken them, then the letter killeth. It can make this a life of bondage. The Spirit giveth life. See, it must be quickened or made alive by the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't liven the word and make it a reality to you, then the letter is just intellectual. That's where we have so many confessed Christians today, or professed Christians, is that intellectual conception of Christ. So it becomes a big, heavy load of do's and don'ts. And it becomes something that we endure while seemingly everybody else is having fun. And it causes us to wonder if God's just trying to keep, he doesn't want us to have any joy and peace because it seems like everybody else does. If it's just intellectual, it will not result in life. And if it doesn't produce life, then what does it produce? Death. It kills. It condemns. It imprisons. It causes you to follow out of fear. And I'll tell you what, Brother Dutch. You do this certain thing, you're out of here, man. And it's understood that Andy can't talk to you anymore. Or Julie. What'd you do? Well, she, come and see. He doesn't even know what he's done wrong. And it's some new unwritten rule. Right? You need to come and repent to the church. Over what? Now, if Brother Dutch was struggling with alcohol, and somebody in the church knew that. And I can say this because I know he isn't. Somebody in the church knew that. And they went to him out of love and said, Brother, I want to help you. You're really struggling with this thing, but I want to help you. What could I do? And nothing changes. Then that brother would bring somebody else. And nothing changes. And then Brother Dutch would be told, Brother Dutch, we're going to have to bring this before the body. We don't want to do it. It's the last thing in the world we want to do is shame you. It's the first thing some churches want to do. And we don't want to scare you either. We're coming to you in love. We want to restore you. We want to see you. Look, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's go down to the church. I'll go down to the altar with you. We'll just stay down there and talk it over with him until something happens. Because his word is true. And I know you don't want to live that way. Right? But then if he says, well, you know, I don't care what you do and I'm just going to keep doing this. Well, then the Bible says, then we bring him before the church in love and give him yet another opportunity. And if he says to the church, yeah, that's what I'm doing and I'm not going to quit. Well, at that point, your love for him would say, well, if that's the case, you can't be a part of this any longer, but it's your choice. If you choose that, then you can't be a part of this any longer. But we love you, and we're praying for you. And we believe by doing this, that since you're a child of God, God will either take you off the scene, or you'll turn around, and you'll be restored. This so-called church discipline that's done out of hate and meanness, nobody's ever restored. Ever. Which is the whole point of this. It's love and it's restoration. We're all guilty. But we didn't get shamed into coming to him. We got loved into it. So now we're going to approach it a different way with one another. Now Brother Dutch is not in the church. You better not talk to him. You talk to him, you're out. Now the whole church is filled with fear. Now everybody's, man, I hope the pastor don't know nothing about me, because that's what's going to come across the pulpit. Carnal, carnal, carnal. That's not the spirit of God. That's the spirit of gossip. And there's no love in it. Now, if you sat under that, a lot of times you never got washed from it. And you knew it wasn't right, but you never got really set free from it. So you come into this church, and then you look at this guy the same way. Shame on you. There's no evidence of it. It's not what you're hearing. It's not what's being preached. It's not what's being lived. So you need to be washed. You need to trust God. That God has a church that's living right, that's doing things according to his word, that's following his leadership, that's allowing him to speak. A church with faulty people. A church with people that make mistakes. But a church of people that are sold out to him, that love him, that love his appearing, and that want everybody that they meet to get to know him. This isn't a whittling down. We're not trying to see how many we can kick out. Come. Come. The Spirit and the bride say come. All that are thirsty, come. Come as far as you can come. But come. We want things his way. We can have some personalities as leaders in the church that are so strong. But it's people that follow personalities that enable a person like that. And we can all start out, or somewhere along the way, get under the wrong thing. But we don't stay there. And we're not condemned. I was thinking about that this morning. How there are certain ministers that I could, you know, you just learn these things. This is not a criticism of other ministers. It's a lesson for me. You don't tell everybody everything. And some people will take whatever you say and they'll use it against you. Right? Well, you were associated with this at one time, and you were associated with that, and you were around these people or that people. I was thinking in the wee hours this morning, I don't repent of any of that. I was sincere in what I was going through. I'm not responsible for what they did. Shame on them. But I don't repent of growing in the Lord. Any more than Brother Branham repented of being a Baptist. He was still a Baptist when he died. just the true part of the Baptist. And he was a Pentecostal and a Catholic and everything else. Oh, friends, we don't... We shouldn't... This is important. We're doing some surgery this morning. I know I was supposed to close, but we're right where the root canal, where the root's coming out. And, you know, if you need some more Novocaine, it's here. But you see, if your relationship with him is based on fear, and if it's because you've had an intellectual walk to a certain point, well, that will cause you never, that will necessarily cause you to be distrustful of the church, distrustful of ministers, distrustful of deacons. You know, Brother Vincent's got a pistol in his jacket, you know. Well, 20 years ago, there were deacons that were walking around with pistols. Now, I wouldn't blame them. Now, it seems to be the sensible thing to do. But his pistol's not pointed at you. It's pointed at whoever's trying to come in and molest you. I heard those two jokers are out. I saw a picture this morning. There was a sighting in South Carolina. And Matt Watkins showed us a picture of two women policemen arresting them. That's got to be... Look. I didn't write the script. You can laugh or cry. I want to laugh. There are people who are going to play certain parts. Don't get hung up on it. It does not take away from the truth. It does not take away from what you believe. We want every single one of you to be connected to him personally. Because it's only then that you can learn to start trusting one another. It's only then that the body can come closer together. The body can only get so close. And it's all based on our relationship with him. You get this worked out, this will work out. Amen? But instead, we want to get this worked out. And it's so frustrating because we can't do it. So we go from church to church trying to find the perfect church. Let me know when you find it. And I'll tell you that once you got there, it ain't perfect no more. Yeah, I can say the same thing about myself. There are times when you think, man, I just want to get away from everybody and just all the spirits and all that. And I just want to get out in the woods and I just get out on the beach, wherever, mountains, I want to get away. And you get out there and guess what? You brought some spirits with you. You're not tiptoeing through the tulips and daisies and whatever struggles you had, you still got them. The solution is him. The solution is to not know religion, but to know the present tense, living God. And what he does for one person, he'll do for you. It's not just for some people to enjoy their walk with Christ. It's not just for some people to have a love affair. It's not just for some people to have joy or peace. It's not just for some people to overcome. Now, we all will have a punch coming. We will all have, because of our physical makeup, because of our genetic makeup, we will all have an area in our life that's maybe a little weaker than we're more, a little more susceptible. And we got to keep those areas covered up. If you know that you have a tendency towards the blues, then you ought to focus on what am I going to do the next time that rhythm comes around? I'm going to go do something for somebody else. Right? I'm going to, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are positive, I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to write in a book. I'm going to get a book out and I'm going to write in there. Remember when God did this? Remember when he did that? And, right? You'll get through it. I'm not saying that you won't go through it again. You will. But these things don't rule us anymore. Friends, if they do, then let's just quit. Let's just go home and say there's nothing to this. But there is. There's a life. that can change everything for every one of us, no matter what we're going through. What we refer to, and I am pulling over, what we refer to as the message of the hour is Christ. It's the living Christ today. It's Him revealing Himself today. It's the very person of Jesus Christ living in our day. That's why it doesn't do any good to continue to talk about Jesus in a one-piece robe that walked the shores of Galilee and think that you're spiritual. That's just history. Don't tell me you ever met Him, because you haven't. If you ever meet Him, you'll start talking about Him present tense. Our ultimate goal is to get people connected with Him. I heard a minister say one time, across our pulpit, if I can get people to God's prophet, then my job is done. He was my associate at the time. Really? That's not our job. Our job is to get them to the same person He was trying to get them to the living Word, to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in this day. We aren't just wanting lively services where the genuine Holy Spirit of God, the rain is falling in each and every service. We want more than that. We want more than well-ordered lives. We do want well-ordered lives. We want more than that. We want more than good principles to live by. We want more than teaching that makes sense to our natural mind. We want more than deliverance and healing. We want to get each and every one to the deliverer, to the healer, to the teacher, to the guide. To know Christ is gain. Amen. Let's stand. Christ revealed to you. Once again, friends, don't take it wrong. The intellectual part, it's a necessary stage that we all go through. If we never accept Him in our mind, we'll never accept Him in our heart. And those that won't accept Him in their mind will say, oh, I don't believe that, or days of miracles are past, or this or that. I don't care if you prove it to me. I don't care this, that, or the other. You can't even seemingly reason on... I mean, there are things in the Bible that are just so plain. Take water baptism. You don't need a revelation of that. It just says it. And you can take by human reasoning and show somebody by human reasoning that that's the only way they ever baptized. And that otherwise it's titles. And you can show them that that name, singular, is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's the name of the living God. You can prove that. And if a person says, well, I refuse to accept that, they will never, ever meet Him. It's a guard. It's a guard about the throne. It comes from the four Gospels. So we have to lower our mental barriers to allow the Word of God for us to stop long enough to listen. But we want more than that. If all we do is accept the Word of God with our mind, we will sympathize with the Word. And in the first Exodus, there were many that sympathized with Moses' message, but they didn't go on to follow his message. They came out with him, but they didn't accept the full message. We don't want to just sympathize. We want to know Him. And if we know Him, we want to know Him more. We want more of Him. We want a fresh filling, a refilling, and another filling, and another. We want to just be so filled with Him that our feelings are a million miles away. Amen? Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, love you so much, Lord. We just pray that you take our, Lord, our chopped up way of delivering the word sometimes, Lord, but you know our motive and our heart, Lord. The last thing in the world that we're trying to do or wanting to do is to shame or to hurt or to beat down or to condemn. Lord, it's just the opposite. We want to take people higher in you. We want to, and we know that the only thing that can is you, but we've got to get people to you, and we've got to get past the barriers of human reasoning and get past the barriers of memories. Memories many times will keep us from, we'll remember the last time we trusted somebody and how we got hurt. And even though we want to trust, maybe we were hurt so bad that that issue has to be dealt with. Or we won't trust what we can't see if we can't trust what we can see. Lord, those are just a few examples, but Lord, it's our ultimate goal, each and every one of us, Lord, is to know you, present tense. That's the only God we'll ever know, is the one that's here right now. We want to know you, present tense. We want to be able to say by experience and by revelation that you are our healer. Not that we think you are, not that we accept that you did, but you've done it. That you are our deliverer because you've delivered us. That you are our savior because you've saved us. Our faith declares that in no uncertain terms. That you are our peace because your peace remains within us no matter what we go through. That you are our joy unspeakable and full of glory. That you are our resurrection and our life. That you are our guide, our counselor, our friend, our lover. Our propitiation, our attorney, our judge, our sacrifice. You're all of that, Lord. We want to be able to say that not by mental faith, Lord, but by experience, by revelation, Lord, by a personal walk, each and every one of us, Lord. That's our desire. Father, we've got loved ones. Maybe our walk is just fine with you but Lord, the cares of this life and the pressures of this age, we know that this is a superheated age, that it's seven times hotter in terms of spiritual wickedness in high places and pressure and demons, mature, strong demons that have been bound, that have been loosed again in this last age. Great, great deceiving devils, great pressures. Are on every side, Lord. We know that we're walking not in your Eden, but in Satan's version of Eden, which is a gross perversion of what you had for us, Lord. But we also know that your word has promised us that you would be our strong tower, that you'd be our help in our time of trouble. Not only that, but you'd be with us and even in us till the end of the world. That you are the resurrection, that you are the life, that you're our inexhaustible fountain. Everything that we have need of is in you. Lord, as our brother, as he was bringing that special song here this morning, Lord, I just want to amen that, Lord. We don't want to put pressure on anyone to do something that you're not leading anyone to do, Lord, but we want to instead encourage each and everyone to seek your leading, Lord. Because we know that when they hear your voice, it doesn't matter if things get hard after that or easy. If we hear from you, a yes and a no are just as, we rejoice just as much, Lord, in a yes or a no from you, because we know we've heard from you. And there's a great peace because we trust you, Lord. We know that you have our best interests at heart. We know that you'll not withhold any good thing from us. We know that you've equipped us to overcome everything that's coming against us in this hour. So, Lord, it is our desire that each and every one find that connection, that personal connection that goes beyond religious terms. It goes beyond the name of a church. It goes beyond the church that we're attending. It goes beyond men. Father, it goes back into the eternities, Lord. It links us back to what we already were in your thinking before the foundation of the world. Father, it is our desire that each and every one would not only have life, but to have it more abundantly. And we believe that it's here, Lord. We believe that there can be a shouting group in Satan's Eden. That there can be, as it were, Lord, like the three Hebrew children that were in the fiery furnace. There can be a people in a fiery furnace that's seven times hotter, that seems impossible to escape from without being devoured. It seems impossible to overcome in such a time and such an hour as this. But we believe, Lord, that your people were typed out by those three Hebrew children that say, the Lord is more than able to deliver. And even if he doesn't, I will not bow my knee to the God of this evil age. I will not bow my knee to the God of reasoning, to the God of science, to the God of psychology, to the God of humanistics, selfishness, putting self first. But Lord, we'll bow to the one and true God. And Lord, we have an assurance, just as was typed out in those three Hebrew children, that when we're in the midst of that fire, that you're with us, that you show up in our midst, telling us things that are to be, comforting us, delivering us, Lord, keeping us in our great time of need. Lord, we certainly don't want anyone to get the wrong impression that we don't care about the trials they're going through. We absolutely care, Lord. We know that you care. But Lord, we don't want to look at the trial as a hopeless, negative kind of a thing. But we want to look at it instead as an opportunity, because that's what it is, Lord. You are a way maker. And Lord, there's nothing that's too great for you. And there's nothing that you put before us that we can't bear. And you said that if there was, to ask, and that you'd provide a way of escape. So Lord, with our confidence, it all just comes back to you, Lord. We want to believe what your word has declared, not what we think, what we've reasoned out, what the church has said, what a denomination has taught, what others have done. But we want to look instead to that living word. And Lord, we know that when that living word comes down into our soul, Lord, it's actually feeding that gene that's come to life on the inside. Lord, that word doesn't depart from our soul. It remains there. If it's just in the second realm, we know that we can receive a natural revelation and we can lose it. But if it ever comes down into that third realm, it's secure. It's safe. Lord, just may your blessings be upon each and every one now, Lord. Father, may we find you in a greater measure in our lives, each and every one. Lord, if we haven't been filled, may we surrender to you, Lord. May we get to the place where we just get desperate and we say, Lord, without you, I just don't want to go on. Where we take you at your word, where your word said that you would give us of this life, that you'd, if we repented, if we truly repented and are baptized in Christian baptism, that you'd give us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that promise is still true this morning. And Lord, it's still here for people to receive, but we've got to believe it with all of our hearts and surrender to you. Lord, if we've been filled with your Spirit, refill us. Father, just pour your Spirit out amongst us from the pulpit to the back door as you've been doing, Lord. Just continue to do it, wave after wave after wave, Lord. Father, even in our worst trial, we'll be encouraged. It won't change our trial, but it'll encourage us through our trial, knowing that you care, Lord, and knowing that there's a bright light on the other side of that trial. Father, that it's not an impassable mountain, but you've made a hole through the mountain. Grant it this morning, Lord. Father, may we encourage one another. Lord, if we're not feeling encouraged at the moment, help us to keep our mouth shut, Lord, or to instead to do the opposite and try to say something that is positive. But Lord, keep us from maybe being a discouragement to other people. May everything we do, Lord, be part of the solution. May everything we do be a help to others. Lord, we've read the back of the book. We know how this ends. We know that there's overcoming. And we know that this word prevails. Help us to confess it along the way, Lord. To look to you for everything. Grant it, O God. Bless each and every one now, Lord. Commit each and every one, including myself, into your hands, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever.